Our scripture this morning comes from Psalm 130. Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, Lord, who could stand? But there is forgiveness with you, so that you may be revered. I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, and in his word I hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than those who watch for the morning, more than those who watch for the morning. O Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is steadfast love, and with him is great power to redeem. It is he who will redeem Israel from all its iniquities. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. We're continuing our series this morning on the Psalms. We spent the past several weeks looking at what are known as the Psalms of Ascent, a section of 15 Psalms that the Israelite people would sing while they're on their way to Jerusalem for the three major festivals. These psalms offer praise to God. They give guidance. They call those who are singing them to faithfully follow after God. And then there's Psalm 130, the psalm that we read this morning. I would call this psalm the psalm for people to sing when they don't really want to go to the festival. Maybe you know the feeling. It's time for a holiday, but you're just not into it this year. In other years, sure, it'd be great to come to church for Easter or to gather with the family for Christmas, but not this year. Because this year, you're going to have to sit alone at church for the first time. Or you're going to show up to the family gathering without the person you brought with you last year, and you have to explain that that relationship ended. Or somebody is going to ask you how work is, and you'll have to admit that you hate your job or that you lost your job. Or you just spend the whole time praying that your kid that's been struggling can just keep it together for the whole meal and not cause a scene. In other words, you found yourself in the depths of life, and the last thing you want to do is celebrate a festival. Well, that's actually where the writer of this psalm is, too. This psalm starts in the depths. And that's important because as much as this is a psalm of hope, hope doesn't mean that you're never going to be in the depths. This psalm starts in the depths, which shows us that it's okay to be of faith and to be in the depths of life. A life of faith isn't a life where you just pretend like everything is okay. A life of faith isn't a life where you just have to keep a smile on your face all the time. Instead, a life of faith is a life that acknowledges that sometimes you're going to be in the depths. A life of faith is a life where you can sing this song even when you're on your way to celebrate God. And that's because a life of faith is a life when even when you find yourself in the depths, you have hope for the way out. The psalm starts with these words. Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. The hope for our faith isn't that we'll never be in the depths. The hope for our faith is that when we're in the depths, God hears our cry. Hope means that we won't stay in the depths forever. This psalm starts in the depths and it ends in hope. Not because the person has solved their situation, but because our God of great hope provides for us a promise that no matter what, the hope of God has the final word. This is why we sing these psalms and these songs in our own lives. Perhaps you've had the common experience of attending a funeral and hearing the singing there. People sing differently at funerals, I think. The singing is more raw. The singing is more real. Because the words sung at funerals, words like "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me," or words like "and he walks with me and talks with me and tells me I am his own," somehow those words become more true when we're in the depths. And as we cry out to God from our depths, we're doing so with hope. Now, hope isn't magic, and hope isn't a cop-out. Hope is a real response that we have as Christians. As Eugene Peterson puts it in the book that we're studying on the Psalms, he writes, "Hoping doesn't mean doing nothing. It's not fatalistic resignation. It means going about our assigned task, confident that God will provide the meaning and the conclusion. It means a confident, alert expectation that God will do what he said he will do. It's the imagination put in the harness of faith. Hope is a lifestyle. Hope is how we live out our faith. Hope is why we sing Psalm 130 on the way to festivals that we're not even sure we want to go to. Hope is the daily reminder that God is with us. Hope is how we know it's going to be okay." As one of my favorite hymns, "Great is Thy Faithfulness," the final verse of "Great is Thy Faithfulness" goes like this: "Pardon for sin and a peace that endureth, thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide. Strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all mine and then 10,000 beside." "Great is Thy Faithfulness" was written by a man named Thomas Chisholm, who is probably not one of our better known hymn writers in the world. Chisholm was born in like the 1860s, and he came to know Christ in his late 20s, and he spent 1 year as a Methodist minister before he had to give that up for health reasons, and I just don't think he was that good at it. And so he ended up in New Jersey working as a life insurance agent, and he wrote poems, one of them being the words to this hymn that he wrote in his mid-50s as he reflected on all the ways God had given him hope over the years. So picture it: a failed preacher turned New Jersey insurance agent who just trusted that even when he was in the depths, that there was bright hope for tomorrow. But you probably don't actually need to picture Thomas Chisholm to see a person who has hope. Because you already know this deep down in your soul, whether you realize it or not. Because you have shown up to worship today. You've taken the time to log in to online worship and to carve out a time and a place in your home. You've gathered here with us, even though you know what it's like to be in the depths. Perhaps you find yourself in the depths right now. Or you aren't, but you know what it's like. You remember when you've been there. And you show up despite that, or maybe because of that. Because you know what it means to wait for the Lord more than those who wait for the morning to come. Because you've done it. You've waited for the morning, and the morning has come, and the hope of God has changed your life. And you show up to worship, whatever that looks like now for this time, not because you think that that's what you're supposed to do, but because you know deep down in your soul that you need the hope and love of Christ in your life. Now, people who know and trust the hope of Christ are vital in our world today, because our world is really short on hope. People are struggling and suffering. A lot of people are in the depths right now. And while some might know that they can cry out to the Lord while they're in the depths, not everybody in our world knows that. I heard on a podcast last week about a pizza place in Brooklyn, New York, that's offering a new menu item. For $1, when you get your pizza delivered, their delivery driver will look you straight in the eyes and tell you, "Everything's gonna be okay, and you're doing the best you can." Now, whether or not this is a gimmick to get more business, and it probably is, this has struck a chord with people. It seems like a lot of people were drawn to needing this promise. The Instagram post announcing this new menu item, it has 6,000 likes, which I did a quick scroll. It's about six times the normal amount of likes anything gets on this pizza shop's page. People are hungry, not just for pizza, but for words of hope. And when I heard about this, I thought immediately, well, this is what the church should be doing. Not charging a dollar to tell people that it's going to be okay, but offering real words of hope in the community. Because no offense to the pizza delivery driver, but he has nothing to back up his promise. But as Christians, we do. Because as Christians, the promise that everything is going to be okay is not tied to us doing the best that we can. It's tied to God doing the best that God can and offering us hope and love that is unending and unearned. And as people who've experienced that hope in our own lives, we should be offering the good news of hope to others. We do that as a church community. It's who we are as a church to offer hope to others. That's why we worship. It's why we gather in small groups. It's why we minister to and serve those who are in need in our community. These are all ways that we tell people it's going to be okay and God's doing the best for you. It's why we support Pastor Matt as he works on the near west side of Cleveland. Without hope, now would be a crazy time to open something new. Now would be a crazy time to start a new church. Why would you plant a church when most churches are dying, even before COVID, and now people can't even gather in the ways that we're used to? Well, you start something new. You plant a church because you have hope in God. You start something new because you know what it's like to cry out to God when you're in the depths, and you want other people to know that promise too. You start something new because your soul has waited for the Lord and received hope, and you know that there are other souls out there waiting for the Lord who need to receive some hope. Our church offers hope. And we're called to offer hope as individuals. In our world that's lacking in hope, how are you sharing hope with others? We're called to offer hope through our words. Maybe you can try signing off your emails this week with words of hope. Or you can post words of hope on social media. Maybe you greet others with some words of hope this week, even strangers. Tell people it's going to be okay because God offers hope to us. And we're called to offer hope in how we present ourselves and our situations. That means we're honest about where we are with other people. Our hope seems pretty silly if we're never willing to admit to others that we too find ourselves in the depths and need to cry out to the Lord. So part of offering hope to others is being vulnerable and honest about where we need to find ourselves, being honest of the times that we too have waited on the Lord. And we're called to offer hope in our actions. We offer hope when we sing songs of hope for the world to hear. We offer hope when we don't give in to the hate and discord in our world. We offer hope when we proclaim the goodness of each new morning that arrives. Psalm 130 is the psalm for people who aren't sure they want to go to the festival. Psalm 130 is the psalm for people who are in the depth. And yet Psalm 130 is also the psalm for those who know the hope of God. Those who have cried out to the Lord, those who have waited on the Lord, and those who have received the promise that it's going to be okay because God's doing the best God can for each and every one of us. It's going to be okay because God offers hope to all. It's going to be okay because the promise of God is that the worst thing is never the last thing. So claim that hope. and then offer that hope to others. Because a song that starts in the depths of life ends with these words of hope. I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, and in his words I hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than those who watch for the morning, more than those who watch for the morning. O Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is steadfast love, and with him is great power to redeem. It is he who will redeem Israel from all its iniquities. Let's pray. God of great hope, we thank you that when we find ourselves in the depths of life, we can cry out to you. Lord, we thank you for the promise that it's going to be okay because you're doing the best you can. Lord, help us to offer these words of hope to those in our lives and in our community and throughout our world. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.